Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
It all starts in the back of the pen, because you start with your closer and then you work your way down the pen. So everything starts in the back of the pen, and that's Ken Giles. And in the last nine games, Ken Giles has made four appearances, and three of them have been non-save situations. In fact, there was a save situation that he was not available for because he pitched back-to-back days in non-save situations. That's on the manager. The Rockets potentially have $22 million in cap space. The issue for the Rockets with LeBron James is, does Cleveland really want to be, do they want to get players? We're not going to get what we want from any team that LeBron actually wants to go to. So if we just let him go for nothing, we get nothing. If they take a deal that has Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker and two first round picks, can they then turn around and flip Eric Gordon for a pick? I would think so.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
All right, Patrick Creighton in for Fred and AJ on the Blitz, ESPN 97.5. Jose Partida on the other side of the glass. This isn't your typical jam that you bring in here, buddy.
It's not, but that's traditional.
Oh, okay. That's a traditional thing with
them
for that spot.
How we start the third hour.
Ah, okay. I'm like, that doesn't sound like your kind of jam there. All right, 713-780-3776. We're going to wrap up your calls here on the Rockets and moving forward with the Rockets. Do you want them to run it back as is? How do you want them to bring it? How do you want them to come back? Do you want to see them make some minor adjustments? Do you want to see them chase a big fish? How do you want the Rockets to come back for next season to take down the Warriors? 713-780-3776. Chris, you're on the Blitz. What's up, Chris?
Hey, yeah, I was just going to dovetail off the guy's opinion earlier who's talking about us having to get a new system. And, you know, I kind of agree with him. While it looks great in the regular season, once you get to the playoffs, this run-and-gun style and pure isolation ball, it
all right.
Just wasn't
time out. Time out. Time out, Chris. Chris, time out. Run-and-gun is not how the Rockets played this year. They were middle of the pack in pace. Chris Paul doesn't play run-and-gun. So before you say run and gun, this was not a 7 seconds or less team. If you think they were playing run and gun, you weren't watching the Rockets this year. Sorry. That, you know, you're disqualified. Once you're talking about run and gun, you didn't watch the team. That's not what they were. Yeah, they were a lot of iso ball. But iso ball and run and gun, I mean, how do those two work together? I mean, if you're iso ball, that means you're taking time off the clock to set up a player where you're setting up a pick, you're setting up a breakdown, you're going to penetrate, you're going to kick out, you're going to find an easy pass. How is that run and gun? We got to have our, I mean, sometimes the frustration level that I get is higher than it should be. I mean, I shouldn't get frustrated with people like that. I shouldn't. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to the audience. I get frustrated, though, because clearly, if you're running all that iso ball, you can't possibly be playing running gun. They are two entirely different things. And the reason the Rockets use the isolation so much is because they have two guys who can break anyone down off the dribble, and that creates a mismatch. All right, there is no one in the NBA who can stay in front of James Harden. Hell, there's probably no one in the NBA who can stay in front of Chris Paul. And those two guys can always beat their man, and that means either they're going to the hoop or somebody has to collapse. That means they have to leave their man and collapse in, and that may give somebody an open shot. And that's why, even though the Rockets threw, you know, among the fewest passes in the NBA, and the Warriors threw among the most passes in the NBA, they had almost identical pass-to-assist ratio. The Warriors have to throw 9 passes to get an assist. The Rockets throw 2. Does it matter how many passes you have to throw? You get there, right? Can we stop the nonsense about the system? It was the best system in basketball this year. They have one of the most efficient offenses of all time. They were up 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals. Did you forget that? They were up 3-2 before Chris Paul's hamstring exploded. Chris Paul doesn't get hurt. They're beating the Cavs right now 2-0. It's it. That's that. The problem wasn't the system. It wasn't the coach. It wasn't Harden. It wasn't anything other than the fact that they didn't have the horses when they lost Chris Paul. That's it. This is not hard. And the reason I say, how do you want to bring back the Rockets next year? How do you want to tweak this team? Because you know the Warriors are coming back with all four guys. The Celtics are going to be better. The Sixers are going to be better. You know, other teams are going to get better. How are you going to stay ahead of the curve as the Rockets? How are you staying ahead? Who are you bringing in that might make you a little better, maybe a lot better? Do you think they need to get a lot better? Is it feasible to get a lot better? You know, to get LeBron, like I said, Cleveland's got to play ball. To get Paul George, he'd have to take a discount. And everything says Paul George is going out west. As far west as you can. That being said, if Paul George decides, hey, you know what, I think I could be the final piece of the puzzle in Houston. I want that ring. Maybe he does take a discount to come to Houston, short-term deal. Maybe he does that Kevin Durant, you know, 2 years and an opt-out. And then re-sign another 2 years and an opt-out so he can keep upping and upping. But that means he's got to start with a discount. You know, the Rockets can make some more than $22 million in cap space. They're going to have $22 million in cap space as of right now, according to SpoTrack.com. But they can make some deals and create more cap space. It's a matter of how much. What is the line in the sand for a guy like Paul George to say, okay, you know what? I'm willing to take 26. I'm willing to take 27. Where's the line in the sand that the Rockets can go chase it? Well, we don't know yet. You know, but, I mean, listen, I'd love to see them go out and get Boogie Cousins. Do they have enough money to do it? I don't know. Boogie's got to show he's over that Achilles, but if you want to talk about a guy who is legitimately the best center in the NBA, it's Boogie Cousins. He scores, he rebounds, he blocks shots, he can handle the ball, he can play back to the basket, front to the basket, outside the three-point line. The guy does everything, and he's 7 foot tall. You know, could you imagine having... put this in the back of your head. Imagine having Boogie Cousins and Clint Capela on the floor at the same time. Now you can run and you can run the floor, you can play ISO, you've got a guy who can back up to the basket on anyone in the league. Capela plays over the rim, Boogie plays over the rim. You know, for all the talk about, oh, well, you know, Draymond Green and good luck with Draymond trying to guard Boogie Cousins. Good luck. Boogie's got 5 inches and 50 pounds on him. He's got no chance. Between Boogie and Capela, they get like every damn rebound. Guy's an offensive rebounding machine. I don't know if that, you know, Boogie wants to come to Houston, but if his Achilles was fully recovered, he's still Boogie Cousins. That's a guy I'd love to see wearing red. All right, Papa Giorgio, you're on the Blitz. Papa Giorgio, how are you?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. What's going on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to ask, how about... I had a topic, but you were just now bringing up Boogie Cousins. What would it be like to get the brow?
probably impossible because you'd have to trade for him and he's their franchise. I mean, you'd have to be able to give up like 8 firstborn children to get Anthony Davis. And now, if he were an unrestricted free agent, that guy would be getting max offers thrown at him left and right. I mean, the only reason that Boogie's even a conversation is because he's a free agent coming off a major injury that maybe there won't be a bunch of teams out there throwing $30 million at him. Maybe. Anthony Davis, he's a top 5 player. And, you know, he's the whole franchise. If they move him, they might as well just pack up the whole team. He's it for them. I love the idea. I just don't think it's feasible. All right. Still got more calls on the board, and we will get to you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP, listen line. We'll get the rest of your calls on the other side. It's the Blitz.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
I'm not going very far.
It's too uncomfortable.
I'm in a hurry. Sometimes I just forget.
There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. You're not only putting yourself at risk of injury or death, it could also cost you lots of money. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patrick Creighton in for Fred and A.J. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Jose Bartito on the side of the glass on the ones, twos, and threes at P. Creighton 1 at Part J 94 at ESPN 97.5. We'll get one more final call here on the Rockets. Josh, you're on the Blitz. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up, man? Man, first off, I want to say great topic for today. But, you know, I'm kind of on the – don't really see us needing to go for a big superstar, just modify the role players a little bit. Want to know your opinion on maybe going after maybe somebody like a Julius Randle or Aaron Gordon, kind of the – he'll Capella down low. You know, the Rockets like to run that pick and roll with him. That gives us a little more options and help us go a little big, you know, sometimes. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, Josh, the issue with Julius Randle's a restricted free agent. So is Aaron Gordon. So their teams, Orlando and the Lakers, they're going to get to match those guys. No matter what you do, those guys you're going to have to match. You're going to put some money up to get those guys. Now, Aaron Gordon is a really good player. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Julius Randle also. I think Julius Randle is one of the most improved players in the league. I could see the Lakers working a sign and trade with Julius Randle if that's going to get them one of the players they want to get. But I don't know. We're going to see what will happen with Randle first, whether the Lakers will renounce him or not. I think Julius Randle can play. Aaron Gordon can definitely play, and he can handle the ball. Very athletic guy. If Aaron Gordon could become consistent from behind the arc, he's a star. He's already like on the cusp. I mean, he averaged almost 18 points and 8 boards a game last year. So Aaron Gordon, if he can be consistent as a 3-point shooter, that vaults him into the next category. Randle, I like guys who can still play down low. I think it's one of the lost things in the game today. And when you have teams who both like to, you know, play in transition and shoot from outside, having that guy who can really finish around the basket, who can play facing up and back to the basket, having that guy to me is key because it gives you it gives you a facet of the offense that the other team cannot account for if they're trying to account for you all over the three-point line. Right now, like, for example, the Rockets, I like Capella. I think Capella is a really nice role player. But believe it or not, that's what he is. He's a rebounder. He's a shot blocker. And pretty much all his points come thanks to James Harden or Chris Paul getting him a dunk or a layup or something right there at the bucket. He can't make his own shot. Julius Randle can. And when you have a guy down low who can make the other team pay every time they try to get too aggressive at the three-point line, where that guy, you can get it down to him, he's going to abuse his defender and jam it home, or, you know, little, you know, six-foot turnaround, you know, 8 feet off the baseline, you know, something like that. A guy who's got, you know, a short to early mid-range game who can play back up and face up, who can play high-low, who can take his man one-on-one every time in the post. It's the one thing the Rockets haven't had now for the last couple of years. The only thing. You know, when you look at Golden State, they don't have a whole lot of guys like that, but Kevin Durant can do that. KD can get in the post, post a guy up, and hit those, you know, short mid-range jumpers. He's pretty much the only guy on the team. Well, David West can, but David West is getting older. So it's KD. The Rockets, they don't really have that guy that can back you down. None of those guys back you down. We're going to say Chris Paul backs guys down? I mean, come on. That's... So, yeah, you know what? I like the idea of Julius Randle. I really like those guys as players. I would be absolutely stunned if the Magic are not matching on Aaron Gordon. Randle, you probably got a better shot at. Because depending on what the Lakers are trying to do, you know, are they trying to dump that money so they can go make a run at both LeBron and Paul George? You know, are they going to try to make a run at Paul George and Boogie Cousins? We know they want to get as many big-time players as they can, and Julius Randle's salary is going to impede that to a degree. Randle might be the more available of those two guys. Let's keep in mind, on a not very good Lakers team, he averaged 16-8. Guy can play. I like the Julius Randle idea. I know he's not their prototype guy because I don't believe Randle is a big-time three-point shooter. You know, but you've got to have some kind of diversity. I don't think you can just have every single guy have the same skill set because, you know, you run into situations like you had, you know, no Chris Paul, no Bamute, and then they go 0-for-27. Almost statistically impossible, but it happened. And the fact that it happened, you know, if Chris Paul was there, probably doesn't happen. If you had a guy who could get down and get buckets in the paint. You know, Randle's not shooting threes. He's a terrible three-point shooter. But shoots 56% from the field. You know, if you want, you know, you want high conversion on shots, well, 56%, it's a lot of shots around, a high percentage right around the rim. So I don't know if he's going to be a part of the Lakers. We know he wants to get paid. Now, how much Julius Randle can draw on the market is one thing. We know he wants to get paid. We know he likes it in L.A. He also has known for a while the writing's on the wall. And that's pretty much how it is. I like the idea of Julius Randle. And you know what? If I could just guarantee that Chris Paul's not going to get hurt again, I'd feel really comfortable about the Rockets. You know, Paul's got an injury history. He's also not getting any younger. Now, if that means you got to back him off during the year, I don't know that that would have helped because, you know, remember the play he got hurt on where he's spinning around and kind of lands on one leg and then he grabs his hamstring. Remember that play? I don't know that that's necessarily something where if he played less minutes during the year, that it wouldn't have happened. Yeah, I do think they need to make a much more considered effort into finding out ways how to keep him healthy, how to keep his legs healthy. Because whether it's a knee, whether it's a hamstring, whatever it is, they need Chris Paul. It was very evident in Game 6 and 7. They need Chris Paul. The steadying hand that he brings cannot be understated. Even James Harden looks up to and respects Chris Paul. So, you know, the idea of, you know, if Randall's another guy, if Randall's a guy they can get and it doesn't require them to smash the team to bits, yeah, I think he helps. I definitely think he helps. All right, it's time to get into the Houston Texans. We'll get into that next. It's the Blitz.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patrick Creighton in for Fred and AJ on the Blitz. And don't forget to listen for your chance to win in the name game. We call two names. If one of them is your name, be the first caller and the winner of today's prize. A gift certificate to St. Bernard, premier destination for all ski, après-ski, swim, and designer apparel with stores located in Houston, Dallas, and Austin. Make St. Bernard the place you go before you go on vacation. John and Raheel gave away today's prize to Carlos. Carlos was the first caller. Congratulations, Carlos, for being today's winner. You know what would make a winning combination? I believe it would be, we call this 4-10.
Second down, 7. Hopkins looking for a block. Giacomini gives it to him. He also got one from Martin, and there he goes! It's a foot race, and he is in for the lead! Flag thrown back at the 21. It's against Seattle, counted a 72-yard catch and run by DeAndre Hopkins.
Three-man rush, deep downfield, and it is a touchdown! Hopkins! In a ton of traffic, beats Mitchell for the score.
Stands the situation, just keep it in front of you. But being in front doesn't necessarily work when you get to going above the rim for that former college basketball player. Played football and basketball at Clemson more than in college.
Second down and goal. Play action. Watson fires, and that is a flag and a touchdown. For the moment, it's Hopkins. Of course, the minute you mentioned he hasn't caught one.
Don't you miss those days? DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson, touchdown factories. Well, those two guys seem to think that they can be the best quarterback wide receiver duo in the NFL. Now, there are some pretty prolific quarterback wide receiver duos in the NFL. Do you think that those two guys can legit be the best? Or who do you think is better than DeAndre and Deshaun? 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. Where do you rank DeAndre and Deshaun as a quarterback wide receiver combo? So you think about it, it's like, all right, well, who are the best quarterbacks? Well, you don't have to run up with Brady, because Brady doesn't really have a big-time number one receiver. Edelman's going to get some. Gronk's going to get some. They kind of split the baby. You know, they both might go over 1,000, but neither one of those guys is going to go for like 1,500 and like 12 touchdowns. So that kind of takes Brady out of the mix. That's a big one right there. You get to take, you know, Tom Brady right out of the top. You know, do you think that Davante Adams is ready to step up and take Jordy Nelson's role on the Packers? Because if you're going to take Davante Adams out of the package, well, now you've taken out Aaron Rodgers, and now that's the top two quarterbacks out. I think Davante Adams is a heck of a player, but I don't know that he's, I don't know that he's ready to be Jordy. Jordy was a beast. Plus, he was like Aaron's best friend. Adams has a ton of talent. He's got some consistency issues. And then there's the whole issue of, can they keep Aaron Rodgers upright? Because that was a big problem for them last year also. You can't be the most prolific quarterback wide receiver tandem if the quarterback can't stay on the field. And I know Deshaun's injury last year was, you know, wasn't a contact injury. It was more freak than anything else. But if you're a Texans fan, you legitimately have to be concerned about left tackle. You've really got to be concerned about whether or not they can keep Deshaun upright. You can't go under the assumption, oh, well, Deshaun can just outrun everybody. We don't have to worry about having an offensive line. That doesn't work. Long-term, history proves that does not work. Deshaun was phenomenal last year at avoiding the rush, at making guys miss, at making big plays with his feet. There was also, what was that play against the Ravens where, you know, he gets out of the pocket and he got absolutely annihilated and we all just sat there and said, please get up, please get up, please get up. Now, the very next play, he ran for a touchdown. It was like 55 yards. But right before that, he got blown the hell up and every single person in the city of Houston just sat there and prayed to whatever God they pray to that Deshaun Watson would get up. So if you take out Brady because Edelman and Gronk will split the baby, neither one will get, you know, 1,500 yards. If you don't think that Rodgers can stay healthy or that Davante Adams can fully ascend to being a superstar receiver, well, that leaves you about six other combos. And of them, if Deshaun and DeAndre both stay healthy, listen, they got a shot. 713-780-3776. Who do you think is going to be wind up being that best tandem in the NFL? You know, where do you think Watson and Hopkins wind up at the end of the year? Let's go to Matt. You're on the Blitz. What's up, Matt?
What's up, man? This is Matt from North Houston. So I just wanted to call in. I'm probably going to hear a lot of it, but you know, Deshaun Watson, I don't think the sample size is there yet. Obviously the potential is there if he can stay healthy as stated. But I think you got to put Matt Ryan and Julio, and then you got to think about Antonio Brown and Roethlisberger as probably the best quarterback receiver tandems in the NFL as of right now.
Okay. So if we say, let's say we go Ben and AB as one, Matty Ice and Julio Jones as two.
Julio.
You'll love to see Julio. Where are you putting Deshaun and DeAndre? You putting them at three, or are they a little further down?
I would put them in numbers, you know, maybe number three or four, if Deshaun Watson can stay healthy, but I think that's the big question mark. As of right now, you got to, you know, put those two guys a full season together and see where it, you know, starts and ends.
Are you more worried about Deshaun's knee holding up, or are you more worried about the offensive line being a bunch of turnstiles?
Well, I think, you know, it's Deshaun Watson holding up. And then also I think, you know, who's the other, you know, weapon on that offensive, you know, is it, you know, the offensive line going to give Deshaun Watson enough time? Because D. Hopkins, you know, he blew up the league the first couple years, and then he kind of, you know, based upon the quarterback play, he kind of faltered. But I'm glad, and I'm a Cowboys fan, so I'm glad that Houston got a quarterback, and I'm so glad that they got Deshaun Watson. Just got to get him, keep him healthy.
All right, appreciate the call, Matt. Now, I don't know about the whole, you know, idea that Deshaun Watson, and that DeAndre Hopkins, you know, needs to have X, Y, or Z to have a great season, because I'm pretty sure DeAndre Hopkins put up a hell of a season last year, despite the fact that he got about 7 games out of Deshaun Watson. In fact, DeAndre Hopkins had 1,378 yards. That was fourth best in the NFL, despite having to catch passes from, well, guys who were not very good outside of Deshaun Watson. Who's next on the board here? Cornell, you are on the Blitz. What's up, Cornell?
Hey, what's going on, my man?
Appreciate you joining us today, buddy. What's on your mind?
Oh, man, I was calling about the wide receiver duo. I feel like Bean and Antonio Brown are number one.
Okay.
Julio, and of course, I have Julio and Matt Ryan, and I have Deshaun Watson and Hopkins, 2A, 2B, you know, barring injury of Hopkins, because of what Deshaun Watson and Hopkins were doing before Watson got hurt was amazing. You know, putting up 200 yards, this and that, and he was my fantasy quarterback. So, you know, I'm going to kind of be biased about that, and I'm a Cowboy fan. So,
but hey, you know what?
I'm tough.
You know what, Cornell? When you have the guy as your fantasy quarterback, you know exactly what he did every single game to the pass. You have LeBron James-style memory of every play that went down.
Yes, yes. He's giving me between him and Hopkins, I was getting about 60 points just from them alone. And I also had Will Fuller on my team, so I was killing with him as well.
And you know what? You saw how Deshaun had a knack for hitting Will Fuller. And wow, Will Fuller must love the fact that he's got a quarterback that can hit him in stride now. Over the top,
yeah,
because he and Fuller
had that dive. And it seemed like Will Fuller can catch the ball when Deshaun Watson throw him the ball.
Go figure. You got a quarterback who could throw it, and now he catches the football. Who knew?
Yes, sir.
Appreciate the call, Cornell. All right, let's get to Kerry. Kerry, you're on the Blitz. What's up, Kerry?
How you doing?
Doing well, man. What's on your mind?
You know, I just want to get on the wide receiver quarterback duos, and I think AB and Big Ben and Hopkins and Watson and, you know, Julio and Matt Ryan are great, but I just think it's crazy that people forget about Rivers and Keenan Allen up there in L.A. I just think that's crazy. People sleep on that duo.
Well, I think part of the reason is that I love Keenan Allen. I've loved Keenan Allen since he came out of college at Cal. Keenan Allen can play. The problem is Keenan Allen's knees explode every year, and last year he finally played a whole season. I mean, are the Chargers not one of those teams that just seem to be bit by injuries every single year? And last year, it seemed like they finally got past a lot of that. But I think that's part of the reason why people sleep on Rivers and Allen, is that so many times Allen hasn't been able to go the distance. But if Keenan Allen's healthy, yo, Keenan Allen can ball. No doubt about that, Kerry. I give you that. It's a nice pickup by you. Nice job on that call. 713-780-3776. We're getting to the best NFL tandems, quarterback, receiver, as we hit the final segment here. On the Blitz!
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, home stretch here on The Blitz. Patrick Creighton in for Fred and A.J. Jose Partido on the side of the glass, ones, twos, and threes. At P. Creighton 1, at ParJ94, at ESPN 97.5 on the Twitter at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Best NFL quarterback wide receiver tandems, and where do you rate Hopkins and Watson? All right, Kansas City Joe, you're on the Blitz. What's up?
Hey, so, yeah, so Kansas City has the best quarterback, period, in Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's way better than this guy you got here. Draft status kind of reflects that, but I just mainly wanted to call.
Oh, yeah, he's the best quarterback.
He is.
Best quarterback. How much did you see him at Texas Tech?
The guy who called about the Chargers, like, I don't understand why everybody thinks the Chargers are so good. They're like the super popular team for everybody to pick this offseason. But if you look at their schedule last year, they didn't have a single quality win. They beat the Bills when they started Nathan Peterman, and he threw 5 interceptions in the first half. They beat the Browns. They beat the Raiders with an injured Derek Carr twice, right? Like, you can look at their schedule. They didn't beat a single quality team. And Phillip Rivers' arm is done. It's shot. It's a pop gun arm now. So, I mean, like, the Chargers are absolute trash. And anyone who says anything different is just flat wrong.
Joe, is this a promo? Is this like a WWE promo?
I'm just calling and saying, you know. Like,
well, we're just accepting the fact that logic has gone completely out the window here on your call. But I'm enjoying it from a comedy standpoint. I think you're hilarious.
No, it's true. Like, have you looked at the Chargers' wins last year?
I've watched plenty of Patrick Mahomes in college, and I know what Patrick Mahomes is. Saying he's the best quarterback in the league, I mean, I'd have to be on massive drugs for that, especially considering a week and a half ago your own writers were saying how terrible he looked. But I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be a pretty damn good quarterback. I think he's got a great arm. I think he's mobile. I like guys who have professional athlete pedigree, which he has. So I like Patrick Mahomes. I'm not ready to say he's the best quarterback in the NFL by a long shot. I think he'll have his ups and downs this year, but I think he's going to show you a lot of promise. I think he's going to be able to get the ball to Tyreek Hill. We know Mahomes' arm doesn't lack for any strength, and you know I think they're going to have shots to hit bombs with Tyreek Hill. I don't know how many, because I think teams are really going to focus on Tyreek Hill a lot more this year than they did last year. I think a lot of people slept on Tyreek Hill as a receiver. They didn't expect him to be as good as he was. And he made a lot of people look bad. That being said, if you're telling me Phillip Rivers has a pop gun arm, I want to know what you're drinking because I want some of it. So appreciate the call, buddy. 713-780-3776. You got about 3 minutes left if you want to get in. To be honest, look, I'm not going to put anybody over Ben and Antonio Brown until they show it. Because Antonio Brown, I think it's fair to say Antonio Brown's the best receiver in the league. The second best receiver in the league really didn't play much last year, and that's Odell Beckham Jr. Everybody's sleeping on Eli and Beckham just because, well, the Giants were terrible last year and OBJ didn't play. But the bottom line is Eli will get the ball to Beckham. You know, the Giants, they decided to address their left tackle with the guy the Texans should have addressed their left tackle with in Nate Solder. I think Eli's protection will be a little better. The addition of Saquon Barkley certainly takes some of the pressure off of him. If Odell Beckham Jr. is healthy, you can probably expect 1,600 yards out of OBJ. So Julio Jones, probably around 1,400. So if Watson is healthy the whole season, and so is DeAndre Hopkins, I think they're a legitimate threat for 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns. He loves going to Hop. I don't know that they'll be the best duo in the NFL this season, but they'll be up there this year, and there will probably be a time when they are the best. All right, real quick, Cross, you're on the Blitz. What's up?
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas?
Doing good, bro. We got about AJ. A minute.
Okay, well, I was just saying, man, to me, you know, Monsters of the Midway, Soldier Field, you know, old school Smash Mouth football. I like Mitchell Trubisky. You know, Robinson they have over there. I think that's going to be a great quarterback-receiver tandem. I want to hear what you guys thought about it.
I love your optimism and hope springs eternal, but not this year. I think Trubisky is at least another year away from having that breakout. But doesn't mean it won't happen. I just don't think it'll happen this season. I really do think if they can keep Deshaun Watson upright, that he and Nuke can have a monster season. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us today. 9 o'clock local time, Jose and I down the dial at our sister station 94.1 as we'll have Straight Heat. Stay right here on ESPN 97.5. Stanley Cup Game 4 is next.